Yeah, right here on tap with us. We're going to do some talking.
Howdy.
So, how you doing? Talk to me some more so I can tell how loud you're coming in here.
Hello.
Sounds pretty good. How was your show tonight?
Pretty good.
You ran late? Or could you not find the lovely Rittenhouse Square?
You mean here?
Right.
Right here. What happened was that after the show is over, we just went back to the hotel to rest up for a little while before coming over and, get out of the sweaty shirt and all that, you know.
Make sure you were hot to do disc jockey work, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do some Grateful Dead and give you time to collect your brains and
Thank you.
Be right back. By the way, Lynn Kratz with you till 6 along with the lovely and talented Jerry Garcia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for coming by, Jerry. I was getting kind of worried and, it's good to see you. I hear the shows were hot. Tell me what you're playing. Tell me how the band feels in its new form, because I haven't had a chance to see you yet.
Well, when you add a new member, it becomes a new band.
How's the new band feel?
Well, it feels real good, and we're all real happy with it. And it's just we're just starting to get some sense of what it's going to turn into, what kind of directions it's going to go into, and. We're real happy. We're looking forward to some interesting stuff ahead. Brent is a real talented player, an excellent singer, and a fine songwriter as well. So he's like, going to become a whole new voice, a whole new personality in the band. And the amount of work that he's put in so far, so far he hasn't learned all of our material, but there's quite a lot of material to learn. But he's learned what amounts to about 4 nights worth of stuff. So he's done his homework and he's just doing a real excellent job. We're real happy with him and the band is right now. We feel as though we're
cooking.
We're getting somewhere.
Do you find that his presence is shaping some of the old songs new?
Oh, definitely. Very definitely, because he's bringing his own personality into the music, and he knows what's expected of him and all like that. And we're not the sort of musicians who dictate to each other, we don't tell each other what to play or how to play.
The personalities of the Grateful Dead that particular time tend to dictate alone what happens.
Yeah.
And the moment.
Yeah, that's right. The moment. So he's a guy who's really bringing in a great combination of sensitivity and presence and a lot of good things. So we're real happy and the audiences have been responding real well to him too.
So to ask pointedly, are there any particular songs that you've noticed have changed?
Everything has changed. Everything has changed some. I'm not in a position to be able to tell, For me, it's such a subjective experience that I can't... honestly, the experience for me is that the songs are never the same, ever.
Yeah.
So, in the midst of that change, it's real hard for me to tell some other level, but anybody who's been listening to us for a long time, I think, would be able to, say something about what the change is and what they feel it's like. I think, generally speaking, that the most noticeable thing is that the overall energy of the band is sort of more forward.
Yeah, people were telling me it was more of a kick-ass kind of band.
That's right. It has more of that quality to it, which is real neat.
The other real obvious question from there is, what about the new album? That's coming real soon.
Yeah.
And I understand the producer's Gary Lyons this time.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what to expect on that. But don't spoil the whole... I don't think you could. We won't hear it until another couple of weeks.
Right. I think it's our best album.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. And... on it, people will be able to hear Brent's work. He's got two tunes of his own on there, and he sings lead on two tunes. And Bob has done some real nice writing on it, and I've got a few new tunes, and we're real happy with the way it's sounding. It's been being recorded at our own place back in California, and Gary is a real fine guy to work with. He's a soulful person. He's spent a lot of time with each person in the band, each member of the band, getting to know them, you know, one to one, which is a lot of effort to go through to produce a record. And he's been real helpful. He's not the sort of person who gets in the way in an ego sense or anything like that. And his interest is in bringing out what the intention of the music, and his ability to get good sounds is real remarkable. His background is that he's an engineer.
His records have great focus.
Yeah, and we're experiencing that with him now too. So there's a nice clarity to it, and a nice the personality of the instruments in terms of the tone and the sound and everything like that is real good on this record.
Has it got a name yet?
Yeah, the name of it is Go to Heaven.
Ah, the other side. Let me play a tune, give you a chance to catch some liquid into your throat.
Okay.
And after that, I want to talk about this story song. This is from your last solo band album, Cats in the Alley?
Cats Under the Stars.
Cats Under the Stars. It's late, and I've been through all this anticipation and adrenaline.
It's the same cats.
Same cats, just different location.
That's right.
This is called Ruben and Charisse, with Jerry Garcia visiting us at WMMR. That's a beautiful song. I love that one.
Thank you. I like it a lot, too.
What's the story of that? It's kind of a confusing...
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's, you ever seen the movie Black Orpheus?
Oh, geez. Not for 20 years.
The song is the Orpheus story, you know, fundamentally. And
transposed in time and set to verse.
Yeah, and it's also borrowed a little bit from the Black Orpheus adaptation of the Orpheus story. Mm. Plus, we transmogrified it and put it into New Orleans and Mardi Gras. And we also
threw in some mariachi synthesizers.
Yeah, we changed the outcome somewhat, you know.
In the interest of democracy.
Right. Actually, it's one of those songs that was very slow growing, and it started off with a melody that I was fooling around with, and while we were working on Blues for All, actually, and I gave a copy of the melody to Hunter, and he took it home, fooled with it, and came up with a lot of different ideas. And then, sort of independently, really, of that music, the original melody, he set a group of those lyrics, and I liked the lyrics better than I liked the original melody. So I dumped the original melody, hung on to the lyrics, and after fooling with the lyrics and looking at them for a long, long time and really liking them and really wanting them to work, you know, really well, I then came up with a new melody and did a lot of editing and changing. So forth. And that's what came out of it.
Some of the more observant of the fans noticed you have a new guitar.
Yes.
And they wanted me to ask you about it, where it comes from, how it feels, what's the difference?
It's made by the same guy that made the guitar that I've been playing, that people have been seeing me play quite a lot for the last several years, the one that has a little wolf on it, that a guy named Doug Irwin, who lives in Northern California in a town called Santa Rosa, made that guitar for me. I ordered it from him 5 years ago. It's a custom-made guitar, and when I ordered it, I told him to make it without any regard for what I might want. The first guitar that he made for me, he and I discussed every detail about it, so it was really a sort of a collaboration. But I wanted him to make one where he did exactly what he wanted, you know. on every level, and I didn't want to interfere with him. I wanted him to be able to do that, you know, to do the best job that he could, and I didn't care how long it took, you know, to do it.
So it took
Yeah, it took 5 years. And so he finally delivered it to me. I'm just now getting used to it. Electronically, it's just about exactly the same as my other guitar. It's got the same sort of pickups and the same sort of wiring and everything. But the feel of it and the hand of it and the touch and everything like that is completely different. And it's really a wonderful instrument. I'm just starting to get used to it, to what it's capable of doing.
Different kinds of tones and colors.
Yeah, just the quality of the wood and the workmanship of it and the feel, the hand, you know, the touch of it and everything like that. It has an amazing amount of tone colors that are just what you can do with your hands, regardless of the electronics in it.
And it's fun to play a new toy, eh?
Oh, yeah, it's really, really a pleasure to play it.
Let me ask you, some people have asked about, there have been reports that the Grateful Dead might be involved in some sort of concert for Muse, Musicians United for Safe Energy. And some people asked me if I could ask you if there is anything about that, or if it's still a possibility. Or
This is the first I've heard of it.
Well, that's well, we've scotched another rumor. That was easy.
But it's possible that somebody from that organization will speak to us about, you know, something along those lines. We've done some things like that in California. We've done a few anti-nuke things for the people out there, the Pacific Alliance people, and we did a thing back. My band did a thing for the clamshell scene back here, and we're involved in that stuff as much as we're able to be.
I should say Larry Richman is in another room. He's taken down some of the questions that people are calling in, which is where we're getting some of the questions out of. Someone asked why the Grateful Dead hasn't done acoustic sets in so long. I would guess the mics are really a problem with the big halls.
That's the only reason we haven't done it, is the technical problems. We haven't had a chance to address ourselves to the technical problems involved, but Bob and I have been planning on doing it now for some time, and in the last 6 months or so, we've started to seriously consider it. And so I would say sometime within the next year or so we'll start to see if it's going to be possible to do it in the big halls and make it sound good, and try that again. It's real enjoyable.
An idea just occurs to me, just to throw off, that would it be ever a possibility, a one-off somewhere, that just a few of you might get together to do an acoustic show?
Well, as a matter of fact, we did a friend of ours. Well, Dan Healy, our sound guy.
Yeah.
He has a cousin who is involved with Loyola University in Chicago. And they're doing a little small benefit for a famine relief thing, I think, in Pakistan. And so we got involved in doing an acoustic show with Bob and I and Phil playing electric bass very, very quietly, and Mickey playing a little snare drum with brushes, you know.
Colors.
And, yeah. And just the four of us played, and we did about, 45 minutes or an hour of just acoustic stuff. We rehearsed it for about 15 minutes before we actually went in and did it.
Which means you figured out what tunes you might do.
That's right. Yeah. And we enjoyed it really a lot. So, you know, we've been planning that to do the acoustic stuff sometime in the future.
Well, that's good news. Let me ask one question by way of segueing into a song. Someone asked, if there is a real Bertha, who is she?
No. Well, there is a real Bertha, but the real Bertha was not a she. The real Bertha was an it. The real Bertha was this sort of military spec fan, that is to say the kind that spins around and you plug into the wall.
Air circulator.
That's right. That we used to have at our old office, and the thing was had something that was like must have been a drill press motor put on it, you know, some incredible high-speed motor that was adapted to this fan, and when you plugged it in, it pushed the body of the fan across the room. Right? It wouldn't stay in one place and circulate air. It actually propelled itself, and this thing would bump into the walls, and it was just incredible, you know, this huge overpowered fan. So, and we called it Bertha. That's what Bertha is.
We're talking with Jerry Garcia on 93.3 WMMR. No, I'm not Lynn Kratz with a cold. This is Michael Tierson. We're talking with Jerry Garcia, who managed to get here tonight. And we'll be right back after we mysteriously do this on WMMR. Instead of Johnny Cash pants commercial in one take, I did Johnny's voice. It was a rare thrill.
Sounds like you're about an octave higher than him, though.
Well, with at this hour of the night, I don't have the control to get that deep as I do when I'm waking up and early in the morning.
Voice.
I couldn't believe. it's deep in other ways. Talking with Jerry Garcia on 93.3 WMMR. Someone asked what the story is behind Mission in the Rain. What's that song about?
It's about Mission. It's about San Francisco.
That's
it's
what
about
I
me and it's about me in San Francisco, you know. That's what it's about. I mean, it's as close to autobiographical as it's possible for me to get working with another guy, you know what I mean? Hunter and I both grew up around the Bay Area and lived in San Francisco, and Hunter is able sometimes to write what I would say, you know what I mean? If it were possible for me to say something in that medium. Every once in a while, he's able to do it, you know, for me. So that's one of those songs where it's very personal, and you know, it's him speaking about me. So when I'm
and filtered back through you.
So when I do the song for me, it's a very personal thing. I'm talking about myself, my life, you know.
Yeah, and you get a real intensity on that. That shows the personal thing. Someone asked if you'll do another live album in the future.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Just a matter of when.
Yeah, that's it. It's a matter of when.
Did you record the Egypt shows, the pyramids?
Yeah, we did.
Tell me about that experience a little bit.
Oh, jeez. Well, all I can say it was truly amazing.
What did the sky look like?
Oh, it was unbelievable. There was an eclipse, you know, a total eclipse of the full moon in the third night that we played, and it was just completely magical. I mean, the whole experience of being in Egypt, which is a wonderful place,
and, ancient place,
yeah, and everything else too. I mean, the people there are amazing. It was just a friend of mine, John Kahn, who came over and helped out with some of the recording, said a great thing about it. He said, "This is a great country. This is like being in a place where there are no parents and no cops." That gives you sort of an indication of what it was like. And the Egyptian people took really well to hippies and freaks. And there were a lot of freaks came over, you know, for the shows and for the stuff like that. And there was a wonderful blending of cultures. It was real neat.
So it was a blend instead of a culture shock.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't a shock at all. If it was like, it was very comfortable.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Someone asks if you still decide what you're going to play as you go along in a show.
As we go along, yeah. We don't. We're not disciplined enough to write a set beforehand.
And then stick to it.
Yeah, right. We sell them. Every once in a while, we'll have, you know, somebody will have an inspiration of, why don't we try this combination of this song into that song and see, maybe this will work. And, you know, every once in a while we do a little planning like that. And then if it's working, you know, we'll continue along with it. If it isn't, then we change the plan. But the whole point for us is to allow ourselves the freedom to go in whatever direction the night seems to be going in, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Someone also asks if you'll be coming back at some point for a small hall, though I guess that your overhead dictates most of the larger places in the East.
Well, not necessarily. I think what we'll do is alternate to some extent, you know what I mean? So that, like, this time we'll do the special. The fact that we do have a large audience means that if we do a smaller hall, we have to do it for a lot of nights. So depending on how the tour is structured, it'd be possible for us to come in and say do, you know, four or five nights at the Tower Theater, or is that the
wherever,
name of the theater?
That's the theater, yeah.
Or something like that, you know, or however many would be would work in the local market, and then we would, you know, plan the tour that way. We all like to be able to play small halls as well, you know, because of the intimacy and the communication. And
it helps keep the band fresh.
Oh, sure. And the thing of playing more than one night or more than two nights in a room, you start to really understand what's happening in the room acoustically. So the music gets to be more refined and more subtle. And, you know, what happens gets to be, can get to be really beautiful in a small room, especially after a few nights. So something like that will happen, you know, somewhere along the line. We'd like to mix it up.
About the Egypt shows, I remember reading they were filmed. Someone asked if that film will ever appear, or that would be in the future, because it takes a long time to edit.
Yeah.
And also if the old film will be re-released.
The old film plays here and there, and it's available to people who want to rent it and stuff like that. Anybody who wants to find out about that can contact Monarch Productions, John Shear's scene.
Up in Jersey.
Yeah, and get any information they need about that. As far as the Egypt stuff is, it was actually filmed. We decided not to make a big production out of it because we didn't want that kind of interference between us and the experience, you know what I mean? We didn't want cameras and lights and that kind of stuff. So we had only the smallest kinds of equipment, little Super 8s, and there are people there with video stuff, but there is quite a lot of material that's now being put together by Richard Lauren, who is sort of our part manager, part booking agent, and he's working on that. That's his project. So eventually that will become something. What form it'll take, it won't be a movie, it won't be a feature, a general release thing. It might be
Short or something? A couple
it might
shorts?
Be a TV thing, you know, a videotape thing of some sort, perhaps, you know. Who knows? We don't know yet, really, what that's going to be like.
Still premature.
That's right.
We were looking through some of the new records, and the first one that you really pulled out of the stack was the Dylan record with Mark Knopfler and Pick Withers from Dire Straits. And
yeah.
You've been listening. Is that one of the ones that's been in the hot listen pile at the Garcia tape deck?
Well, no, not exactly. but I do like some of the songs. I like some of the songs on I've always been a Dylan fan, and I like this record just like I like his other records.
You've always been a very eclectic listener, and
oh yeah,
I mean Balkan music, jigs, yeah. Bluegrass.
Yeah, I don't listen to one kind or one style or anything of the sort.
Without the labels, you listen.
That's right.
That's my basic philosophy down there.
Yeah, music is music.
It's all sounds in the air.
Yeah, and there's good music everywhere, every culture, you know. There's stuff that gets you off, no matter what your taste in music is, you know.
I've always felt it was really important to be open enough not to be putting down something you don't like just because you don't like it, because if someone else likes it, fine.
Yeah, right.
That's why there's choices.
Yeah, yeah, even the worst music doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, unless you, it gets involved, but it's an indirect cause of it.
Yeah, I mean, wound anybody is what I'm saying, you know.
Let's play a track off the Dylan record you asked for. This was Gotta Serve Somebody.
Yeah.
He gets some funny words in there.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with Jerry Garcia on 93.3 WMMR. A whole new funky edge that he hasn't had.
Yeah.
Dire Straits,
nice sounding record. Good sounding record.
First time he's had a real producer since Tom Wilson, really.
Yeah, and Jerry Wexler is a nice guy. He's a music fan. He's one of the guys that discovered Ray Charles. You know, he goes way back, and he's a real interesting guy and a total music fan. I mean, really, a guy who really loves music, which is sort of rare. And
he's the one that made Aretha Franklin happen.
That's right. That's right.
And a whole lot of music. Really.
Yeah, fine man.
Jerry Garcia, WMMR in Philadelphia. I'm Michael Tierson here. Lynn Kratz is sitting by, and she'll have a Nighthawk special ultimately. Let me see what they say here. Will there be a Terrapin 2, someone asks.
Maybe.
I love that side. That's so far one of my favorite sides just to put on and stretch
you.
With.
Thank you. Actually, two more songs in that cycle that complete the
story?
Story. But whether or not we'll ever record them is problematical.
Well, it's like it says in the song, so the rest remains for later.
Yeah.
Because that's the nature of the troubadour.
Sure is.
here today and then elsewhere tomorrow. Jerry, we must thank you for coming by this late. It's been no problem at all for me to hang in.
You care.
Oh, you're going to put it on?
Yeah, I think so.
Needy Keen. I like that. We're going to play Terrapin 1 as we let you stretch back on into the night.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for coming by, and any time.
Okay, I hope I'm in better shape next time.
Next time, even, we'll make it a little bit earlier.
Okay, yeah.
In fact, we've been taping this so that maybe we can turn it into another interview show so that more people can hear it.
Fine.
So if you're out there, tell your friends.
Or your friend.
however it is.
Yeah, however it is.
Jerry Garcia, thanks again.
Okay.
We'll leave with Terrapin.
Number one. Grateful Dead. And you heard it. There may be a Terrapin Station number two. Jerry Garcia, better late than never, of course. Although I suppose there were a lot of people who just sort of gave up. See that? You can never give up. Never, ever, ever. So once again, thanking Jerry Garcia for stopping by the studios here at WMMR. Definitely rather... hard to say what the word is, but interesting is definitely pale compared to what it is. Michael, I'm sure, will not be the same for at least 2 weeks. So anyway, Lynn Kratz here with you till 6 a.m. Certainly not the stature of Jerry Garcia or Michael Tearson for that matter, but...